Good afternoon, folks. I hope that wherever you are, you're having a wonderful day. You're listening to Aggie Radio, and this is Mindfulness on Air. I'm Jake Grossman, your host, and we're going to talk a little bit about mindfulness and meditation, why that's helpful, especially for students, but really anybody in general as well. Before I get to all that good stuff, just wanted to mention, like I said, you're listening to Aggie Radio. You can check them out on their webpage or Facebook. On their webpage, it's got a lot of the history of all the podcasts, of all the latest, greatest shows happening this summer, and even the previous ones. Because what's going on is Aggie Radio is going to FM. So that's pretty neat. It's pretty big there. So you can be listening to it wherever you can pick that up. And they'll always still have the podcasts. So we'll have our shows being podcasted still. So you can go and check out all the previous Mindfulness on Air episodes, which I highly, highly recommend. Obviously, I'm completely biased, but even more so because I've sat in with these wonderful guests that we've had on the show. Awesome people from students to professors. We've had yogis, psychologists. Just wonderful people all around with wonderful insights. And so for that reason, for the wisdom that they've shared, the presence, the practical meditations and techniques that they've talked about. Very, very wonderful stuff there. So, and that's all right there on Aggie Radio. That's all radio.usu.edu with all the previous Mindfulness on Air shows. And so coming up in the fall, we'll still be having our episodes being podcast, so you'll still always be able to check them out, and you'll always be able to meditate with us over the radio. So I hope you've been following along with our series of Mindfulness on Air. If you haven't, you're probably wondering, wait, what's he talking about? What's all this mindfulness and meditation? And so yes, it is. We do a little bit exploring that, but to explain a little bit more of what mindfulness is, it's really a way of paying attention to the present moment by using either meditation, yoga, breathing techniques. It involves consciously bringing our awareness to our thoughts and feelings, but without making judgments about them and layering on our labels, our preconceived notions. It's just a method for observing what is happening right now in our bodies, our minds, and the world around us. And so just from that little bit of a description, we can see how it can be just one tool, one skill to develop, because mindfulness in the clinical sense has been found very effectively to help with all sorts of, just to relax or to de-stress, helps with depression, even emotion regulation. Some studies have found that it helps with the immune system response to speed up healing. And so there's a lot of great research out there on the clinical, looking at in the mind of how this is all working. And again, that just measures what they're able to measure. But it's also this evolving felt experience that, you know, we can just dive right in and experience more well-being, because that's basically, mindfulness has been proven effective in many situations and generally supports health promotion and prevention of ill health. So that's the coolest thing about it, is we don't have to wait till something's quote-unquote something's wrong, or trying to figure something out or make it better. And professional help is great if it gets to that point. This is not a cure-all. But at the same time, we don't have to wait. We can be living in an aware, intentional life right now. We can be cultivating. We can be promoting our health. You know, we come to school. We learn about all sorts of things. And it's who knows all this? Who is it that is knowing, that is learning all there is to know about the universe? Lots of times we don't really stop to take a breather about who's learning all this, about who we really are. And so just that alone, you know, stopping and pausing can help relax. It's kind of like putting a comma or a period at the end of a sentence. Do you ever feel like our lives are just running on forward, you can't keep up, or there's just another deadline? And there's really just no time to just stop and breathe. And that's what mindfulness, that's what meditation is really all about. It's to putting that pause so our life doesn't become a run-on sentence. And so like I said, that's why just that in and of itself can be very helpful to just take that time. So it can just be a tool, something we find helpful, or it can be a skill that we actually cultivate and turn these healthy mind states into mental and personal traits, where we actually build in the structures in our minds that help with the emotion regulation or executive functioning, as we'll get into. But it can also be a whole way of life. We've had guests mention it's an art of living. It's a way of being present, a way of appreciating what we do have, what is here, a way of being clear about what are effective ways to accomplish our goals. There are many things we do need to take care of and accomplish, but it also clears that up so that we become aware of what we actually are in control of and what we aren't, what we can work with and what we can just be with. And so it helps with that as well, not just to let it be, not just acceptance and not just an art of living, but also to clear up so we know how to effectively go about things as well. So huge range of application for whatever you find helpful. It has just been proven beneficial in that way, clinical, but I don't want to just dump a bunch of that stuff on you, because really all this is about is just open-handedly saying this stuff may be awesome. You may find some benefit from it, and really it's only your own well-being that you have to lose, and to just notice with an open, curious inquiry what it's all about, to check it out for yourself. We do not have to just believe scientific journals just because it's science, or some voice that comes on over the radio, or these wise teachers that are very wise, but we can actually, this is something everybody can experiment with. But I do urge you not only to check out those previous talks of Mindfulness on Air, but actually to stick with it a little bit, because lots of times you'll find when you finally do settle down, the mind can be very chaotic. We sit down, you may notice this already. You sit down for vacation and already you're wondering what's going on with work. You try to go to sleep at night and you can't because you have racing thoughts, or you're worrying about this or that. So it's really hard to just relax sometimes. And that's because we've been conditioning our mind to constantly solve this problem, worry about that, which can all be good things when we put it to use. The mind is the most skillful tool when we put it to use, but it's the most horrible boss when it uses us. And so when we can train, when we can work with the mind, when we can cultivate it to see a lot more of what's going on, that can really help us to not only, just as a side effect, not only will you feel, does that make you feel calmer, but it also opens up that creative space, that time to just be. But why I mentioned that is because sometimes we just sit down and we may feel like, I don't like this. I didn't feel peaceful, or my mind is just racing and it didn't work. We say it didn't work, or I just can't meditate, or something's wrong with me, or I don't have time to. There's all these reasons. But if you're noticing your mind's racing, right there, you're already being aware, because that's the key part of this, is awareness. It's all about being mindful, remembering what you're trying to do right now, what you're keeping in mind, what's happening around you. And so when your mind is all crazy, which it already is, we all are. We all have our own issues in our own ways. But I mean, when it's not cooperating, when we're thinking too much or worrying or just what have you, you can really fill in the blank. When we're being used by our mind, when it's running around, that's not meditation or mindfulness not working. In fact, if you're aware of that, it's doing its job and you're on the right page already. And so it may not be pleasant right in the beginning, but we notice that that's what it's like. And it's like that because we're not really conditioning our minds. How many of you walk around and say, well, why are you going to school? Or why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? How many is it to just, what is the answer usually? To find peace, to search within myself, to find out who I am? Usually not. And so we don't condition our mind to just be and really fall in love with who we are. And to notice all the amazing things we do have. Yes, there are limitations, there are struggles for sure. But lots of times there's a lot of good that's also happening as well. And so we don't really condition that a lot of the times. We focus on what we can improve. which is not a bad thing in and of itself, again. But when that becomes our sole drive and our the only focus of life is to get better and fix what I am lacking, well, then that's what you're always going to feel. And what our attention is on, the negative aspects or the lacking, that's what grows, because that's what we're feeding on. And so somebody can watch the news and see all the horrible things and think the world is a wreck and a hopeless case. And I'm not saying that things do not need to be worked on. They do. But you can also then be in a totally different planet just by noticing and talking with people that actually go out and serve, or that work for the environment, or that are finding healthy ways to help each other and themselves. And so it could be a totally different world. Some people think the world is over, but then other people think this is so amazing. For every one person or every act of violence, there's probably hundreds or thousands, if not, that are peaceful acts. How many people are helping somebody get something to eat? Or it could just be something little as open the door or help somebody up. But there's also major things that are happening as well. The fact that so much horrible stuff is on the news just proves that it's worthy of the news. It proves that that's the rare incidents, though it doesn't seem rare because that's all that we're feeding. That's all that makes the news, we say. And so just that alone shows that that's not the majority of the things. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on the news. They're not showing you how many people helped deliver a baby, or how many people have done amazing things, or helping seniors with dementia work on that. All the incredible things that almost everybody coming to university is doing is to improve something somewhere along the lines. It's for some sort of what they think is their own well-being or somebody else's. We may be wrong. It could be in a totally different way. But the key drive is usually they want to improve and help something in one way or another. But that's not going to make the news. That's not going to make the news. Oh, look, somebody was nice today. But if somebody is upsetting and caused big enough ruckus, of course that does. So what I'm getting at here is it's what we put our attention on. It's what we feed the mind. Everything we experience or go through, the mind is there. And so if we're constantly feeding it junk, that's what we're constantly going to be feeding it. And that's what we're going to be growing on and noticing the most. But when we cultivate it, when we work with it and put it to use, then we can explore the unlimited potential. And I say unlimited because so far we have definitely not reached that limited potential. It seems as though the human mind is unlimitless, has no limit to its potential. And do we actually push ourselves to notice who we are and how much potential that's there? Or do we shut down anytime we feel upset? Or close in, put up new walls anytime we see something we don't like, or add in another layer of hopelessness? Yes, that is there, and we can hold that. We can hold that with our attention, but we can also take a moment and look around and see what else is present, because when we take that time, we notice there's so much more. And then that allows us to enjoy what we already have. That's why mindfulness is so neat in that aspect. And that's why meditation is really helpful. Because as I hope you notice thus far, that we're not talking about just some silly pose or only certain people who can do this. It's just regular every day. There is formal practice, which I am extremely for. Lots of times, it is very helpful, especially starting out a practice or just finding that place to chill out or to find like-minded people. And so, yes, we do have a place we meditate on campus that'll be starting up in the fall. I'll let you know those dates and times. But there's also local places around the valley as well. And we'll go over that, too, in the end when I talk about all the other resources. But also, this is just about life. It's not about running away from life. This isn't about escaping. This isn't necessarily even trying to fix or change, as in forcing that. It's not trying to go around the world and so we never get cut on our foot, and trying to layer the entire world with leather so we never get hurt. It's about working with where we are It's about putting leather on, or actually, maybe leather's not the best example, seeing how it comes from harming. But just putting on shoes, just watching where we step, and when we cover our feet, we don't have to worry about all the negative things out there. We can be with it. And so it's not trying to solve all the problems. It's trying to just be with where we are and go about that effectively one step at a time. And when we work with our minds that way, it seems to be a little bit more effective. Seems to be a lot more helpful for working with things that way. And so it can just be your regular everyday. Just bringing this mindfulness, this awareness to what we're doing. As I talked about, it's paying attention to the present moment as things are happening, as they truly are. Not our labels on top of it. Not what we think is happening. Our minds can get so muddled. I often use this. It's the picture of a muddy glass of water. You can't see through it, and you can't force a glass of muddy water to become clear. You set the glass down, the mud will sink, and then the water becomes clear. So it's like that a lot of times with our mind, to just allow it to settle, to be here, and to see a little more clearly. And that's how it's a lot more helpful and effective to go about things. And so also going along with that, it can be your ordinary experiences. We can bring this mindfulness to, and notice what we're actually really missing, just on ordinary experiences of walking. This is a beautiful campus we have at USU. It's also a beautiful valley, and I'm sure wherever most people live. But we're just in a hurry to get somewhere, or somebody's in our way. We don't really slow down a lot to notice how wonderful things are, how wonderful it is if you're able to walk, that you can walk, how amazing it is. Some of the only creatures, in fact, we may be the only ones that can constantly walk on just two legs. The incredible balance, coordination that takes, not to mention everything that allows us to even be, to even have the earth, the sun to grow plants that we are nourished from, clouds, the water, everything our body is made up of. It's pretty amazing that when we stop and think about it, just in this fathom-long body, the entire universe can be found. So I often feel that meditation, it's not just a hobby or an activity that sits outside of one's life. It is not even just part of one's life. It seems to be the connection that connects, that brings a lot of people together, because when you sit in a formal group, there's people from all sorts of backgrounds. It's not just certain people that can meditate. Anybody can. You'll meet professors, you'll meet students, you'll meet hippies, you'll meet the homeless, you'll meet parents, kids, you'll meet regular people as well. And that's what brings everybody together. We're just regular people that all value cultivating their own mind, either for their well-being, to make it less of an impact on others, or to help cultivate more well-being overall. So it's really that tangible line that connects everybody. It really seems to be that center that holds everyone together. Everyone can meditate because everybody can breathe. You can become aware of your breath, as I mentioned earlier, aware of as we're walking, aware of what's going on within us and around us. And so it's not just sitting there. It can be doing anything mindfully or anything used as a state of being. And I imagine most of you have tried this. Most of you do this. We call it your time to recharge, or whatever brightens or enlightens your mind, to take time out, your me time, just whatever it is to, yes, there's that relaxation time, but lots of times we have that area in our lives where we use for creativity, to reflect, to cultivate. It could be writing poetry or gardening, taking a shower, could even be washing the dishes. So most people have this time to retreat, but it just may not be formal meditation, or they just don't realize it. So I noticed for myself even that something like depression was a big part of life, but was also a huge help in finding connection to others' pain and becoming mindful without even knowing it at the time. Just once I started meditation practice, I could look back and realize, wow, there was all these times that I use that, whether it was gardening or writing poetry. But I noticed that when depressed, I felt it fully. So instead of ignoring it, instead of telling everybody about it, I had just really feeling what it feels like, feeling the raw experience inside, just the pure heartache, whether you've gone through a tough breakup, losing somebody you love, maybe you're in an accident, or just starting the new school year, or just counting down the days of summer and it's scaring you enough. The biggest thing is, I felt it fully. I didn't deny it or run away. Just fully embraced it. In fact, to the point where I was even taking on, I am depressed. I started taking on that identity, just in the mind. Obviously not running around telling everybody. Even though there's definitely times to get help, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I just embraced it and lived it, to the point that I noticed what it felt like inside my body, where it was. I noticed what did it feel like? What shape did it have? Did it move? And you can do the same thing with depression or pain, anxiety. Where is it in our body? Usually we're running off in the story of, is it going to be like this forever? Or why'd this happen? Usually we're in the mind, we don't really feel, what does it actually feel like? So when I started noticing and pinpointing to it, I even used to write it into my writings. Not writing necessarily about it, but just writing what it felt like. A dagger through the heart, you know, stuff like that, pierced through the heart. But what this does, I'm getting to a point here, so I hope you're hanging in there, is this connecting with it and describing the felt reality. It may not be the truth, capital T, with everything that's going on, but it's real enough. You're really going through this. We don't want to give it any more reality. We don't want to buy into this story, but we need to kind of settle in and embrace what's actually happening and not running away from it. And so connecting with it and describing it really pointed to it, it named the experience, and it also expressed it through writing, but also through letting it flow through me. And so that can be a very helpful way to then, as I mentioned, mindfulness is coming in the present moment. And so it can be through breathing techniques or yoga. And the reason this works is because the body, you're only breathing in the present moment. Your body sensations are only happening in the present moment. If it's happened in the past, then that's a memory of it, and the future's not here yet. So it's a key gateway, it's a doorway to bring us into the present moment, to see life as it really is, and to just be here, to be here now, as they say. And so that's why that's key, why breathing techniques, the yoga, why it focuses on sensations and the like. And so the same effect of an emotion or a feeling inside had that same thing. By pointing at it, noticing what it felt like, and embracing it, that it was actually happening, but moving through it, allowing it to flow through me, just like life, just like the breath flows through as well. And so it can be anything, exactly like I said, mowing the grass and gardening, just a complete silence, an awe of what was happening, connecting to the earth, and letting the thoughts come and go, just like the clouds above. So many ways to be present and fully alive, whether you call it meditation or not. We are all part of this web with mindful aliveness at the center. And when you're without this time to recharge, to take that time out, it's that burned out feeling. And the reason it's called burned out is I just come up with a little analogy for my own. But when you don't have any kind of practice or any kind of, whether you recognize it as a practice or not, any of that time to just be, to just recharge, or to just notice what's going on, to put that pause into your life, or any kind of wholesome activity, it's kind of like being a spark that has popped out of the fire and will eventually just burn out. Not connected with others, not connected with yourself, really. And so mindfulness is a very helpful key to check that out, to notice all the amazing stuff that's going on around us, and a couple of gateways to do that. And meditation can be a whole practice, a whole lifestyle in and of itself, or it can just be a slice of it, this mindfulness, this quality of being aware and with life as it's actually happening, or anywhere inside that continuum. What it's all really about is kind of coming home, That's what most people say at meditation groups or on retreats, is they feel like they finally arrived home. They feel like they finally can be with themselves. I'm not trying to say like this is going to solve all your problems or you're all of a sudden going to love who you are, but it's actually allowing yourself to look at and be with yourself and work on maybe noticing how wonderful you already are. But it's just that quality of coming home. Coming home, house may still need to be picked up, may still need to be taken care of, but it's arriving. It's feeling like you belong. And it's just really that connection that will help out, whether it's for just relaxation or calming. These concentration techniques can help you out with school. Or like I said, to just really connect and see the person in front of you with your relationships, or to notice your connection with the earth, how everything we rely on within us and in our lives depend on this earth. So it's really all about this connection, what's really happening, and the bigger resource that we are. We limit ourselves to a narrow view of a definition a lot of time. We identify with roles and don't see how much bigger we really are. That expansion. That expansion that's possible when we just become aware. We become aware of our various roles, but staying grounded in your physical felt experience, we also allow ourselves to absorb those roles and identities, but we can feel ourselves expand. We can notice, yes, I am those things. I experience those things, but that's not all. Who holds that within? And we can literally, both physically, by letting go of the tension, not feeling so closed up and afraid, and also mentally, we can feel ourselves expand bigger than just the limited roles. We still contain them, but your being just expands. And like I said, this is nothing to take on. This does not need to give you a belief system. This does not need to replace anything, because then we're just using another substitute story for one now. It's really just about going inside and checking this out for yourself, of how it's helpful. It seems to be that being present and noticing what you do have and aren't just lacking and having clarity of mind would only be helpful in the long run. So it's just kind of good stuff like that, mindfulness and meditation. And it just seems to allow this joyous feeling come up. Of course, things still happen, but you can see the greater joy, the irony, the humor in things a little more clear. It just, instead of being like a leaf blown around by every up and down, we get so delighted because our emotions, and we think that that's really happiness, but then it comes and goes, and then we get so blown around again. But taking stock of what's going on within us and around us kind of gives us a little bit of a reservoir of that underlying joy, what we can really kind of peek into. And so that's just an invitation to you to check that out if you'd like, to be a little more mindful of what's going on. I'm going to take a short break, allow you to listen mindfully to another tune, and we'll be back with more mindfulness.
Maybe soon you'll learn to love me, and maybe soon you'll learn. Follows through the garden with the tall grass growing around you.
Tell no pain, tell no pain. shut up when you can't.
Welcome back. You're listening to Aggie Radio. I'm your host, Jake Grossman, and this is Mindfulness on Air. Thanks for hanging in there, if you're still there. This is a show about mindfulness and meditation we've been talking about. And I urge you, if you really want to give this a shot, instead of just taking my word for it, checking out the previous podcasts that we have of all the guests that have been on. Wonderful experts, from professors to students, psychologists to yogis, everywhere in between. If you just go on to radio.usu.edu, you can find all our past shows of Mindfulness on Air, and you can, or just once you're on that website, radio.usu.edu, just the top right, you can do the search for Mindfulness on Air. And like I said, there's been many, many wonderful guests bringing all sorts of different perspectives, all sorts of different techniques. So please do not think that what I am talking about is the only interpretation. In fact, interpretation isn't even the right word, but this is not the only perspective. I'm not the authority on meditation. This is not all it means. In fact, the key thing I like to point out, and the first question I ask everybody that you'll notice on all those previous podcasts, is what meditation means to them, what mindfulness is. And they've just been very brilliant and incorporating. So it's not just something outside of their life. This is some very foundation and support to many people's lives in a very live, even compassionate and heartfelt, eventful ways. This living life, not just a dry mental activity or just trying to get over a depression or stress. It's really just about life, about living with it, feeling life flow through you. And maybe you're not ready to accept everything yet. I know I'm not ready to just openly be with everything and can say I can accept everything and move through a lot of things, and that's great. A lot of things have been the catalyst and the very grist for the mill that have allowed for many wonderful things to happen, but at first they seem like really catastrophic events. And so it can be the very foundation support of your life, Or, like I mentioned before, it could just be a skill and a tool that you work with that allows you to be more beneficial in any aspect that you'd like. But what's really neat is everybody brings a different approach in those previous podcasts. And so you can get a different feel of how we can work with many, many things. We're not quite as stuck as we think we are. Life is a lot more kinder than the stories we tell about it. And you're a lot better person than you believe. And you can kind of check this out. Most of the things we say to ourselves, we would never say about our good friend. But you know what I mean. There's some things that we would never treat a friend or even somebody we don't know the same way we will say things and treat our own minds. The things we focus on and beat ourselves up over, all that can be held. All that can be held and worked with. And so going back to my point about not accepting everything right away is we can still open the door a little bit, crack it open and work with it to kind of just flow a little bit, allow life to kind of flow through. We may not be able to, like I said, take it all on right at once, and that's absolutely normal. We may not be able to accept everything that comes up. But when we kind of settle into the present moment and see a lot more that's happening, we can just crack the door open a little bit and see if we can work with it. And if we can't, we can close back down. But maybe, just maybe, you can leave that open and just allow that a little bit of space. And to give yourself a little bit more credit, a little bit of space, a little more kindness, to be a little more, pay a little more attention to what's actually happening. And then you can notice some of that. Maybe it's not as big of a deal. Maybe you can be with it. Or maybe for the first time, a solution's come up and you realize a way you can go about solving something you're worrying about. But it's all just very helpful stuff that is just open-handedly offered to whatever you find useful. Like I said, this is not taking on anything. I hope you notice that this can just be a tool or a very deep, wonderful practice, but in no way is something else you have to layer on as another obligation or another belief system at all. I just like to point out that when people ask why meditate, why cultivate the mind, it's kind of like asking why be happy. You know, and I see these two are not separate. In fact, how could one even know happiness without a mind to know it? In fact, through my experience, happiness is nowhere else to be found except in the mind. And I mean, like, where is happiness? When you are happy or when you are suffering, where is it? Can you point to it? And so I don't mean like it's all in your head, you're just making it up, or everything's just a projection. But the way you know it is from your awareness. You experience it in the body, and who knows that? Who is it that knows that? So it's all in the mind in that way. That it's in the mind as in that's how we come to know things, that's how we will be able to cultivate happiness, is by intentionally focusing on it, cultivating the good, taking that in, absorbing what's happening, acknowledging what we'd like to fix also, but working with it. And so even neuroscience explains how happiness is a state of mind, right? We're able to look at when somebody's feeling positive feelings and emotions, what lights up in their brain. We can notice that it's a state of mind. So in being a state of mind, we can cultivate these states. And the mere cultivation of mind is the foundation of true happiness, true joy, not just the fleeting emotions, because then we can know when I can step back and not get as identified when my object of happiness just went away. We can step back and take in the bigger picture of that underlying joy that's not just the fleeting emotions. You know, it's not like the whole world's over when something doesn't work out in our way. And so I want to back up a little bit. I said, you know, these objects of happiness, it's in the mind. There are triggers. There are wonderful things. Spouses. I'm very, very happy I have a spouse. She is wonderful, and she's very supportive, and one of the best things in my life, other than my daughter. And school, education, teachers, I value a lot of things. And they do bring happiness. There's no denying that. But they're also triggers. They're the triggers that point back to where that happiness may lie. This you can check out for yourself. Do not believe Jake. But it seems like when I can settle in and truly be with that person or that object, it's a trigger. You finally have that thing, and it allows you to just be content for a moment, and it points back to where that happiness is found, back to your inner joy. And so that's what I mean by it's in the mind, is you experience it through your mind. If you weren't conscious, you wouldn't know if you weren't happy or not. And so since it's there, we can actually notice what qualities allow you to be happy, allow for that joy. And then we can notice it's a mental state. So then there's no reason you can't cultivate that to turn into a trait. We do all the time. Were you born with all your habits and your personalities? I don't mean like in a philosophical way, but we picked up along the way what foods we like, what we don't, our opinions, right? We kind of conditioned ourselves to where it became a habit and to where we don't question it anymore. And so we can come to know it is through the mind. Every sensation, every feeling, thought, judgment, books, every memory, idea, emotion, etc., is from our awareness. We were aware of it at one time or another. We paid attention to it, and it came through the mind. And I don't just mean the mind is just in the head. It can be the heart of your being. It can be awareness. It is the mind, our way of knowing, our way of paying attention. So everything we experience all fits between our ears in that sense, as far as where the memories are, where the thoughts are arising. It's pretty neat that all the books we've read, everything we've ever watched, it's all filtered through there. Even that of others is still from the mind. Any movie plot, anybody who's ever come up with a movie, produced a movie, any art, music, technology. Yes, that inspiration's from all sorts of areas, but all this has been cultivated out of one's mind. Where else could it come from? Even your amazing phone that we're always on all the time. That was somebody or a group of people's ideas, their efforts that went into doing that and following their dreams and goals. And if you're listening to this, I'm quite positive you have a mind. You have a very capable mind and you are a wonderful person, that there's no reason you can't at least try to open up your heart to yourself, to try to cultivate this, to work with the mind, because you're definitely worth it. And so there are more neurons, more mind states potentially, with the connection of neurons connecting. There's more potential mind states in the brain than stars in the observable universe. So it's kind of like a wise person's statement that says the entire universe can be found within this fathom-long body. Think of all the organisms that make up this body, your body, my body, our body, all the cells, bacteria, and microorganisms that we call a person. In fact, I think it's like 2 to 3 pounds alone of bacteria in our gut alone. Is that you? Is that when you say I am happy, who are you talking about? The person that owns that bacteria? Are you talking about, is that the bacteria in your gut talking? No, I don't mean to be going on and grossing you out, but what I'm saying is there's an incredible amount within you. 3 pounds. It says about 100 trillion bacteria, about 3 pounds worth, just lying in your intestinal tract. So I know that's probably a little too much for you, some of you. Sorry about that, but I just had to verify that fact. And so there are many, many cells, many organisms, microorganisms that we call a person. And the breath flows through every part of this. It is the oxygen that goes into the lungs, the bloodstream, muscles, the marrow, to every part of us. Even the solid areas are made up with atoms. The most solid area in your body is made up of atoms. And those atoms are entirely space, almost entirely space. So you are entirely this aware, wonderful space that can potentially allow life to just completely flow through you. And all this can be experienced, because as everything I just pointed out, is within this mind and body. And so incredible potential to experience this flow of life, this energy, and to check out what it's all about. So I'd like to take a few minutes to just lead you through a little bit of a meditation. You can take some time out and pause whatever you're doing and close your eyes, but you can also just become aware of what you're doing. If you're driving, definitely stay aware. Don't try to close your eyes or worry about it too much. You can always try this activity when you're a little more aware, but it's definitely a good time to be aware when we're driving. So just bring your attention to whatever you're doing right now. Whether you're just chilling out, listening. What do you hear? Are you typing on a computer? You hear the clicking? You're writing? Is there a fan blowing? The wind? People? And so there's no need to label or worry about where the sound is coming from, or if that's a lawnmower, or who's mowing right now. Just notice that there is sound right now. Notice what you see. Am I looking at a computer screen? Have I got lost in an email and didn't realize, wow, I'm caught up in this conversation? I haven't taken a moment to notice if this is a wise thing to send. Are we looking outside? Just notice the sights and sounds and allow yourself to come within. Notice what's coming up for you inside. The physical sensations of sitting in a chair, of typing, of holding a book, walking. Just whatever's going on. What's going on for you? You can also notice your inner experience. What's coming up? Is there just a curiosity? Is there comfort? Is there maybe some aversion, like, I don't want to do this? What's this all about? We can just notice that. Those are all just thoughts, all sounds, all sights coming and going, just like all the rest. And just notice what that's like right now, to be you, without any judgments. It's like right now, there's some tingling in a foot, maybe asleep. Feel my back against the backrest of a chair. But like I said, not going into a story, just notice what's going on for you. Feeling what's actually happening. Allow yourself to take in a deep breath. Feeling your lungs expand. Long, slow exhale, releasing the toxins, releasing the tension and stress of what happened today, what may happen. Just become aware of this next inhale. What does it feel like to breathe? To feel the aliveness and the energy as we breathe in. Letting go, releasing the tension as we breathe out. Allowing ourselves to settle into our seat, to this earth, to feel grounded in our being. Just feel our presence for a moment. And that can just be wherever you feel the breath the most. It can be there's sensations happening. Just allow everything in a little bit. No need to feel it overflow you, like you have to take on everything right now. Just right now, just this one breath. What's it like to be with this breath? Or to notice this one annoying thought, or this one wonderful thought that you want to keep replaying? What's it like to just be with what's coming up? But staying anchored with the breath, it's what allows us to stay in the present moment. It's always happening, and it flows freely. There's no need to change it or make something happen. You can allow it to become more comfortable. Feel that expand the lungs, expand your being. Any roles and identities, allow yourself to just hold those in awareness. But just like the breath expanding the lungs, allow your being to expand. Those may be wonderful roles. We have these identities that are useful, but that's not all we are. So much more. They can just float within our awareness, within our being, as we expand with each inhale. Feeling the oxygen made up of the atoms throughout that go into your lungs. Oxygenate your blood. Those oxygen atoms of space flowing throughout your bloodstream into all parts of your body. Feeling your breath flow through every part of your body, down your arms and legs, down and out your hands and feet. Feeling the breath come in through the chest, in through the neck, in through between the shoulders. Just hold that perception as if you could really breathe through your shoulders. What does that feel like? Not forcing anything, just recognizing that all the atoms in your body are mostly space, and so it can just flow right through you. You are just pure space, awareness, wonderful being. Pretty much limitless. We can narrow ourselves to these identities and roles, but we can also hold that within awareness and recognize, if I can be aware of that, that's not all I am, because I am whatever is aware of that. With each inhale, feel your body expand, the mind expand. And each exhale, let go. Anything that's not serving you right now, whatever's past is past. What hasn't come is not here yet. So there will be a time to pick up everything you need to go about. But right now, just feel the breath, feel our sensations. We notice what is actually happening. You have five senses and the mind. So there can really only be six things happening right now. Which is either thinking, hearing, seeing, tasting, feeling something, or smelling. Everything else we think we are and are doing are part of those thoughts. The thoughts come and go like the clouds, but they don't disturb the sky. That's just like your mind. All these sensations and senses come and go. Just like the stories, the worries. You can just be with what's happening. Letting all the tension go down and out the fingers and toes. Feeling that expansion, feeling who we really are. We can use this calm and clarity any time to take this moment to take either a break where you formally stop what you're doing, or we just come back to the breath, come back to what's happening. If we're washing the dishes, the temperature of the water, the feeling of moisture in our hands, feeling the plate, this is what feeds us. This is what we eat off of. So you can just take an informal moment like that to become aware. And when we can become aware and a little more centered, we have that clarity I've been talking about this whole time. When we go about the rest of our day, now is when we can pick up those worries and plans. But instead of worrying and plans and the hustle and bustle of life, now we can notice what things we have control over. And go about that effectively. What things we need to or can let go, and what things we can be with. And so when I said there's no worries, there's only those six senses happening right now, there's no need to worry or worry about the thoughts. Your thoughts are going to come up, but then they go. We don't need to hold on to them. That's what I mean. When we don't hold on to them, when we don't cling to this is how it has to be or else life is over, we can allow that to flow through us. We pay attention to it and be with it. But the effect that has is when we've settled that time or become calm, hopefully as you have, that's when we're going to be able to go effectively about those things we need to figure out. So it's not an escape from life or running away. It's about being able to do what we can, what we need to do effectively. And we need that awareness to know if it's something we can do anything about and how to go about that efficiently and to be aware of our wonderful relationships and everything we have going on. So folks, I just have a few announcements before we end. Wanted to mention some yoga classes. Jennifer Siner, professor here at USU, and she was one of our previous guests on, so her podcast is on if you want to look that up on radio.usu.edu. She's got some classes down at Balance Studio. That's downtown Logan. And those are from 8:30 to 9:45 a.m. And the classes on August 23rd and August 30th are free. So those first two classes are free, and then she has weekly classes after that. So that's the yoga studio at Balance Studio, 34 Federal Avenue, and that's on Sundays from 8:30 to 9:45. August 23rd and the 30th are free, so if you'd like, you can check that out. It would be more vigorous class, focus on breathing techniques and the asanas and the stuff like that. You can email for more information, jennifer.siner@gmail.com, or you can inquire to us at usumeditationclub@gmail.com. So like I said, we do have a meditation club. We'll be meeting here in a couple weeks, so I'm excited about that. I hope you're excited. That's on campus. It's free. It's open to students, faculty, the public. Anybody's welcome to come. If you already have a practice, well, now you know there'll be a place to meet in the TSC. And if you're looking to come try it out, there's plenty of wonderful people to come learn from. We do guide and help teach you and support you that way. There's also many other groups around the valley and many online as well. So if you are a student and have an A number and you'd like to check out more of this, when you're on your MyUSU homepage, the main portal where you can go to your banner or Canvas, all that stuff, the top left or the bottom left, there's a section that says My Communities. If you view communities, that'll allow you to go into a list and check out all the organizations that's here. If you don't check out ours, that's fine. As long as you know there's all these other ones, there's tons of great stuff happening at this campus. I love it. And so when you go to view communities from your MyUSU homepage, they'll bring up all the lists of organizations and clubs. Scroll down to USU Meditation Club. Not my USU. USU Meditation Club. Click join on the right. That'll allow you to view the folder next to the name. And then you can go in. And that's when you'll see all the resources on there. I think under categories in the middle of the page, there'll be guided meditations on there. The scientific benefits of meditation. If you want to read the academic journals that have been published or just different blogs that reference them. Mindfulness reports. Like I said, there's many, many resources on mindfulness, on meditation, different teachers that come through the valley and their talks, like Nithya Shanti, who was on here a couple weeks ago, his talks on SoundCloud, and the various sanghas where you want to go and meditate, learn yoga meditation, or just have a group to sit with. Lots of wonderful communities. Lots of good stuff going on there. All that information, again, is on our webpage. Through MyUSU, check out View Communities. After View Communities, click Join next to USU Meditation Club, and then you can hit Open and check out all those resources, ask any questions on there. If you're not a student or if you don't have an A number, you can always email us at usumeditationclub@gmail.com. Once again, folks, this is just something if you'd like to check out, if you want to cultivate your mind, or just explore it. Just see what it's all about. There are many, many paths, many, many techniques, so much more that we couldn't even cover if we tried, but this is just a sampling, and hopefully we can send you in the right direction. You can check out any of those that you'd like. So once again, I appreciate you hanging in there and listening. I'm Jake Grossman. This is Mindfulness on Air. You're listening to Aggie Radio. Everybody stay safe and mindful over the weekend. We'll be here next Thursday. And in the meantime, if you're really ambitious and want to check out some of those previous podcasts, they're on radio.usu.edu. Everybody, have a good one.